The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by him. The Gospel of the Lord. It's a busy day at the synagogue, the Sabbath. Lots of faithful Jewish people are milling around the place, there to honor the weekly holy day of rest and worship, as God had commanded them to long ago. Now, it is possible that some people have come to the synagogue only because they're supposed to, or because they don't want their neighbors to gossip about why they aren't there. But let's face it, the world we hear about in our gospel reading from Luke is a world without an internet, cable TV, streaming services, smartphones, bookstores, or video games, a world in which on the Sabbath, no malls are open, you can't play golf or pickleball, mow your lawn, attend a soccer game or a dance recital or anything else. Pretty much your options are to go to the synagogue or to go to the synagogue. So the place is hopping. Jesus is also there teaching. He is a faithful Jewish man whose public ministry, according to Luke, began in a synagogue in Nazareth. So it's natural that Jesus is in his Father's house among his community on the Sabbath. I imagine his presence makes the synagogue even busier than usual. For that by this point, Jesus has developed quite a reputation as a healer, as a miracle worker, as a man who has both done some amazing things and said some amazing things. Huge crowds have been following him around, so many people they are trampling each other, we are told in the preceding chapter. Surely at least some of these folks have entered the synagogue to catch a glimpse of Jesus, maybe even witness him take on one of those Pharisees who seem to be so irritated with him these days. A woman appears in this busy place where so much is going on. Under normal circumstances, no one would even notice her. She just kind of hobbles along, trying to stay out of everyone's way. She's bent over, has been for, oh, so many years, 18 of them, 18 years. Hasn't been able to stand up straight in all that time. The woman never has understood why her body failed her, why all of a sudden everything had changed. The rumors had started right away, of course. Remember, at that time, people didn't really understand disease or illness from our scientific perspective. So they asked themselves what sin the woman committed that God is punishing her. Why is she being bound by Satan? What has she done? It's bad enough that she can't work or clean or play or go for a walk on a beautiful day, but to not understand why she has been so burdened, well, that is especially hard. She can see so little from her bent over vantage point. Just people's legs, the dusty ground, animals and bugs and little kids scampering by. Such a limited view. But then it happens. This man, Jesus, in the midst of the hubbub of the synagogue, the crowds, all those people, this man, Jesus, sees her. And then he calls her over. Does she know who Jesus is? We're not told. She must be surprised, even perhaps afraid, when he summons her. Maybe this teacher is calling her over to make an example of her. Maybe she is going to be the object lesson for some point about the wages of sin he is trying to make with the crowd. Maybe he is going to shame her or mock her or blame her for her suffering. It wouldn't be the first time that had happened. How shocked she is. How shocked everyone else gathered there is when this man says, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And it's not clear what he even means by that until he reaches out and touches her. He lays his healing hands on her, and immediately she stands up straight. She is free. Free of this burden that has weighed her down for so long, that has stooped her shoulders, bent her over, kept her from seeing and being seen. Able to stand, to stretch, to look all around her, to engage with the world once again, this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound and Christ has freed, begins praising God. Of course she does. What joy she must feel, what gratitude, what blessing. Besides Jesus and the crowds and the crippled, now not crippled woman, someone else is there that day, the leader of the synagogue. He's well respected, well established, well off, well to do, a striking contrast to the bent over woman healed by Jesus. But oh my goodness, this leader of the synagogue can see even less than the woman has been able to see. Someone burdened terribly for 18 years is set free right there in front of him, and what is his reaction? He is indignant, angry at Jesus for curing on the Sabbath, angry at the crowd for coming to Jesus for help, and he can't let it go. The Gospel of Luke tells us he keeps saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." While the crippled woman might have only been able to look at the ground, the dust, people's feet and knees, well, the synagogue leader's view is even more limited. Rules, good order, coloring within the lines always. That's what matters. That's his focus. And so he can't see the goodness and mercy of God standing right there in front of him. He is so busy wagging his finger and berating Jesus and everyone else, he can't rejoice in the miracle that has just occurred. It's easy for us to judge the synagogue leader harshly. After all, in Luke's story, Jesus calls him and his ilk hypocrites. But the synagogue leader is doing what he believes is right and faithful to God, enforcing the holy commandments that had defined and shaped his community for ages. He just has gotten so caught up in the rules and the good order and the lines that he has lost sight of people. People like the bent over woman who now stands tall. Today is our Sabbath day. And I don't know who you are in this story, but it doesn't really matter. Perhaps you are the woman, crippled by physical illness, or burdened in spirit, or bent over by grief, or regret, or shame. Perhaps you are the religious leader, with too limited a view of God's goodness and mercy, judgmental and rigid, sure you know what's right and wrong. Perhaps you're just one of the folks in the crowd today, hoping for a glimpse of saving grace. But whoever you are, Christ sets you free. Here, in this holy place and in this beloved community, is forgiveness of your sins. Here is strength to help you stand strong and move forward in a faith that praises God. Here is divine food and drink to restore your soul. Here is Christ's healing touch. Here is the Easter promise that death does not have the last word. Here is freedom for you, for me. Thanks be to God.